Gotcha. You're listening to Mary and Kelly Live on Drive.
I came to win, to fight, to conquer, to fight. Came to win, to fight, to prosper, to rise, to fly.
Good morning. Welcome to Thrive. I am Mary Nicholson.
Good morning.
And this is Kelly. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Waiting on more coffee.
Yes. I've already had one down. I don't know how many more to go.
I know if you're on our Facebook Thrive page, we had a picture that Matthew took last week.
That's right.
And we got a lot of comments on how big the coffee cups are.
We love their coffee cups.
And what they don't realize is we refill those babies.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And take some to go.
I know. I know. But that's a testament to how good their coffee is.
That's right. And how addicted we are. We're putting it out there. We're confessing.
That is our one thing.
That's
addicted.
Okay.
That's right. If we're going to be addicted to anything, coffee. Be addicted to coffee and Jesus.
That's right. That's exactly right. That's the best combination right there.
I know. Well, it is sunny today.
Yes.
It's been a nice day.
Oh, goodness. And the humidity's not terrible, so
that's good.
Feels great out there.
And the pollen's starting to come down.
Yes.
So, boy, last week was awful.
Wasn't it? It looked like yellow snow on everything.
And we were all talking through our noses.
Yeah. Headaches, grumpy.
Grumpy. I was drinking a lot of coffee to overcome that grumpiness, you too.
Yes, and headache.
Yeah. Headache, oh yeah.
We drink coffee for any reason. I have a headache. Let's drink some coffee. I'm grumpy. I'll have some more coffee. I'm in a great mood. I'll have coffee.
That headache's not caused by the coffee too much.
It's lack of coffee that causes headache.
That's right.
Oh, goodness.
We can tell you about coffee and caffeine.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
But we've been on a 2 or 3 show kick.
Yeah.
Going into your workplace, into your world. Before we went on air, Kelly and I were talking about how we got to this point. And it's fair to say you had a faith crisis.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I think, you know, you shared some of that a couple weeks ago. And that's basically where I'm coming from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a couple years ago I said, you know, what's worked for 40 years isn't working anymore.
Right.
You know, I didn't like the fact that I was, you know, I didn't like the view I had of God, of, you know, mm-hmm. you know that song, Be Careful Little Eyes, mm-hmm. which you see, for your Father up above is looking down on love.
Yes.
I got tired of that feeling that there was someone always behind my back.
Yeah.
Waiting for me to mess up.
Yes. Yeah.
And you know, big church, when you get out of kids' church, when you go into big church, it's sometimes reinforced.
Mm-hmm.
You know, be careful what you do.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
He's always watching. He's always ready.
It's always about the rules.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. And like we were saying, you were saying, you know, it just felt like bondage to you.
Yeah, it did for most of my Christian walk. I felt that way. And thinking, what's wrong with me? You know, why do I feel this way? I'm supposed to be feeling liberated and free in Christ, you know, and I don't. And it's misery. Why am I not? Something is wrong with me, and it worried me.
Yes. And I think a lot of people feel that way. Matthew, say hello to our audience.
Good morning. Good morning, audience. Good morning, everyone.
He's serving our coffee.
Yes.
He was our guest last week.
Always.
And did an amazing job.
Absolutely. You got a word for us today?
Oh, my gosh.
on the spot.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys are amazing, and you were created to be nothing less than amazing. So just know that.
Aww.
So with everything that you do, let it be amazing. You have no choice.
That's right.
So, love you guys.
Good work.
You are amazing.
That's right.
Thanks.
You are.
Thanks. I'm going to get some amazing napkins to claim that amazing spill I did on your plate.
We're here at the amazing square perk.
What an amazing day. This is going to be an amazing show. We get on those live. We were talking about that before the show too. How many times we've been on air live and just gotten so tickled we couldn't stop laughing, or we could barely speak.
Yeah.
We're trying to avoid that today.
And our guests look at us like, yes, okay. Okay. Amazing napkins coming up.
Amazing napkins. Here they are.
So we were talking about the bondage that you felt. And, you know, a lot of people, I think, go to church and they hear, you know, all of the rules, and they feel that bondage. And my question I always ask is, where's the good news?
Yeah, where's the liberty in Christ? Where is the freedom that we're supposed to feel?
Exactly, you know? Exactly. I remember one day when I was still in the workforce, God speaking to me. I was walking back from the file room to my desk, and God, it was just like somebody walking with me, and He said, I'm going to show you the truth, and it's going to be difficult for you. And I'm like,
wow,
what's going to be so difficult? And over the next few years, I actually had to come to a point where what I thought was my relationship with Him was really one-sided, because in my mind it was like, if I do this, He'll be happy with me.
Yeah.
And if I don't do that, He'll be even happier with me. So I based my relationship with Him on what I did and what I didn't do.
On performance.
On performance.
And the thing that I did the same thing, but what is true is that He just wants us to be ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
He created us, you know, and He wants us to be ourselves. And that's, you know, I could really talk, I think you could too, about forever, about the transformation that took place. We both, you know, a couple of years ago had a, you know, a faith crisis,
mm-hmm.
which was tough, but allowed by God, so that we would really know who He is and learn. And thank God I learned, because the Jesus I know now is not who I thought He was for all of those years. Since, you know, I received Christ at the age of 13, and from 13 until the age of 41, the Christ that I knew was, I didn't know Him. I thought I did, but I did not. And thank God I had the experience that I had a couple of years ago that brought me to know who He really is. And I found that liberty in Him, you know, that He wants us to have. That's where we have a relationship with Him. You know, I compare it to my relationship with my spouse or my kids. You know, my relationship with them should be one of liberty, you know, that they love me for who I am, and that it's not about performance or what I'm doing for them. They just love me for me, that for who I am, and they love the fact that I love them, you know.
Right.
And that's how God is, you know. He's not waiting to bless us because of what we do.
Right.
He just wants to bless us because of who we are, and He created us, and as long as we receive that love, then we're going to want to live for Him, you know.
Yes.
And then it just, we do the things that He's placed in our hearts to do, the things that interest us, our passions. We don't have to change that just because we become a Christian.
That's,
you know,
right.
He placed them there. We act on those, and we become, we live out who we are. And I can't even, you know, I could go on about this forever, but that's what He wants us to do, and that's how we discover the real Jesus, you know, who He really is.
Right, and who we are in Him.
Yeah.
So your face of Jesus changed from all rules to mercy and grace.
Yeah. So, and it's just that I have been truly happy since I realized that it's not about rules, that it's not about, you know, doing it or not doing things, you know, that are just, you know, bondage. I mean, no one likes that.
No.
It's like kids hate to go to school, you know?
Yes.
Because it's, you know, you don't want to be in an atmosphere where you can't be yourself. And I'm not saying that that's, that, you know, oh, we're just going to live life, do whatever we want to do, and know that God loves us, and we're going to be, you know, it's not, you know, you draw the line, you don't. But what you desire to do lines up with God when you learn who He really is,
right.
And the love He has for you, and your love for Him grows, you know?
Yes.
Your heart and your actions line up with His will.
Right.
Because of that. It's just, it's something that can't be explained.
Right. And, you know, when you start talking about mercy and grace, people think, oh, you're one of those that thinks, you know, you have a license to sin, and He's just going to forgive you. But like you said, when you truly embrace the fact that you are okay who you are,
mm-hmm.
and that we're all going to sin, you can't live your life saying, I'm not going to sin, I'm not going to sin, I'm not going to sin, I'm not going to sin. it's impossible.
It is impossible.
But when you realize that you're human and you're going to sin, mm-hmm. that He forgives us and yes. He's merciful, that's the freedom.
Yeah.
What for me, the bondage is in saying, I have to be sinless. Yes. I can't sin. It's impossible.
And the bondage comes from that because you think, okay, I sin, so I'm never going to be what I need to be in God's eyes. It always holds us back from Him, you
right.
know, that thinking that, okay, I can't sin, and oh, I did sin, so now I've really messed things up, and I'm going to go backwards 50 steps, you know.
Right,
and
right.
That's not the way it is,
right.
you know. That's where the bondage comes,
right.
when you feel that you can't fully come to God because you've sinned, or you're never going to be worthy because it's so hard not to sin.
Right.
But the thing is, no, we'll never be worthy. Never.
That's
but
right.
that He's not waiting on us to be worthy, you know.
Right.
He is waiting on us just to come to Him. Sins right. and everything, you know. We're going to sin every day. We're going to sin. Does that mean I'm just going to run out and go, you know, buy a big thing of liquor and just start drinking it? No.
Right.
No.
Right.
You know, whatever. I mean, I'm just, you know, using that as a crazy example, but
right.
you know, it just means that makes me love Him even more. And I want to please Him even more because He is so merciful.
Right.
You know, how could I not want to live for Him when He's so merciful to me?
Right.
That's true freedom, you know.
My son was asking me something yesterday, and I hope he doesn't mind me sharing this, but he was like, he said, it feels like I'm always torn because I'm either on God's side or Satan's side, and I feel like everything I do is either on one side or the other side.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, it's kind of like if you say, Mom, I spilled something on the carpet. I don't say, pack your stuff and get out of here.
Yeah.
You're no longer a Nicholson. You know, you cannot be in this family.
Right.
And I think our concept of God is that way. You know, we think if we mess up, get out of here. You're
yeah.
no longer my son. You're no longer my daughter. You are on
yeah.
Satan's side.
Or, oh, now you're going to have to start all over. Everything you just did
exactly.
you know, for the past 2 years, 3 years, 10 years,
yep.
now you've messed up. You're going to have to start all over. That's
yes.
not how it is at all.
My favor is not on your career anymore.
Right.
You better watch out. You're going to lose
yeah. it. Yeah, it's not that way at all.
Yeah.
It's not. And, you know, there have been times when, you know, I've truly messed up. And when I deserved, you know, punishment, and I deserved to go backwards 50 steps or whatever,
yeah.
that didn't happen. You know, I went to God and asked for forgiveness. He forgave me and propelled me forward like crazy, you know,
mm-hmm.
right
yes.
where I was, forward. I didn't go backwards and then forward again. No, right where I was, He propelled me forward even more.
Instantaneously.
Yeah, yeah, and that's grace.
Yes. Yeah, and we've talked about that.
Yeah.
We talk about how we feel we deserve punishment
yes.
and prison, and you know, and how He's just so gracious and so loving, and
He is.
When you get it, it's just like your heart is overwhelmed.
Yeah, and your heart is just open. There's no words to describe.
And you want everybody to know.
Yeah, yeah. And the sad thing is. So many people don't know. And I just pray, you know, as hard as it was, the crisis that I went through to have, you know, this revelation,
right?
It was hard. But I pray that the people that don't know, that they would go through something that would allow them to know.
Yes.
Because ultimately that it will be the best thing that ever happened to them.
Right. And you know, I look back, and when He said, this is going to be hard for you, it is hard because, honestly, Kelly, there are more people that feel comfortable or
mm-hmm.
embrace the God as judge
mm-hmm.
than those that walk in the mercy and grace, because it's misunderstood.
Yeah.
It is hard.
It is hard. And we were talking about that before the show, too, how when you live according to God's mercy and love for you rather than His judgment and rule book, you know,
yes.
then people look at you like, oh, well, she's kind of out there, you
yeah.
know. But it's, you know, like we were saying before the show, you know, the way that Jesus lived His life when He was on earth was controversial at the time.
Right.
People, you know, it wasn't according to the rule book. You know, he walked in love and mercy. And if you read the Bible, you will see this,
yes.
that He walked in love and mercy, and that it was controversial. So,
yes.
you know, now that's the way I look at things. You know, I really don't care if what I do or the way that I present myself as a Christian is controversial.
Right.
Because as long as I know I'm in God's will and I'm represent him the way that he has asked me to, then I'm okay with that.
Exactly. Exactly. During my faith crisis, I did. I'm not going to say honest. I'm going to be honest here. Not almost. I did. I stopped reading the Bible for a while. Mm-hmm. Because whenever I would read it, I would hear the ministers in my head. And yeah. I would, you know, I already had an idea of what that verse was supposed to mean.
Yeah.
And it would frustrate me.
Yeah.
And when I talked to somebody about it, they said, why don't you go back to the Gospels and read what Jesus did? And don't read so much what was said,
yeah,
but look at what he did.
Yeah.
And you know, it is amazing when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and see what Jesus did.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people that want to hold you to the Ten Commandments. You know, that he, you know, there's nothing wrong with teaching kids the Ten Commandments, but Jesus said, you know, people did to Jesus what they do to us now.
Yeah.
Don't forget this rule. Don't break this rule.
Yeah.
And they constantly said to Jesus, don't forget the law. How come your followers are breaking the law? And he said, listen, the law comes down to two commandments. Love your neighbor as yourself. Yeah. And love the Lord your God with all your heart.
That's right.
So even Jesus made the statement, you know, do away with the rules,
yes,
dude. You know,
yes,
what really counts is where's the love.
That's right. And love your neighbor, you know, as you love yourself. That doesn't mean love them if they are living exactly like you think they should be living.
Right.
It means love them, period, right where they are.
Right.
That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what they're doing.
Right.
You know, whether we agree with their lifestyle or not, love them. And that doesn't just mean, okay, I'm not going to say anything to them about their lifestyle. That means have a relationship with them.
Right.
Demonstrate the love of God to them in their life. You know, and through that, they, you know, that they may come to know God.
Right.
You know,
right. You know, that's an interesting thing I want to get into for a few minutes with you is there's a whole lot of theory about it's my Christian duty to confront evil, okay? And you're not, you know, if you're not always calling out someone's sin, judging someone's sin, well, you're not a true Christian, quote-unquote. Okay, my theory is when you have to call out somebody or when somebody's doing something that you think needs correcting, didn't Jesus say go one-on-one?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then he said, if that doesn't work, bring the leaders of a church. And if that doesn't work, let it go.
Yeah.
Okay, so this, you know, and even the woman caught in adultery, mm-hmm, the crowd brought her to Jesus. You know, crucify her, let's throw the stones. Look what she did. And Jesus was like, hey, go at it if you don't have any sin.
Yeah.
So Jesus didn't even go into the public humiliation thing.
Right.
He taught us to go one-on-one.
Yes.
So if you have to call somebody out, why aren't we going one-on-one?
And not make a spectacle of them, you know?
Yes.
That's humiliating. And how is that going to draw someone to Christ? Jesus did not humiliate people to God, you know, to the hope of God. He didn't do that. He did it in love and mercy. Just like the woman who was caught in the act of adultery, he just said, your sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more. That's it.
Right.
Period. He didn't say, but, you know, because you did that, now you're going to have to do this and this and this. And
right.
No. He basically said, your sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more. Live your life.
Yes.
Love others. Love God. You know,
yes.
Go and live your life.
Yes.
That's what he was saying to her.
Yes. And yet we, you know, our quote unquote Christian duty is, you know, peer pressure,
mm-hmm,
public humiliation. You know, my goodness, another admittance. I sin.
Yes. We all do.
Should I really call somebody else out on theirs when I want to be called out on mine? And truth of the matter, okay, you know when someone approaches you, oh, I'm worried about so-and-so. Let me tell you what's going on. They're not worried.
No.
They want to gossip.
They do. They do. And, you know, that really rubs me the wrong way because, you know, I don't want people to talk about me. I know that people do. They have. You know, that's not a good feeling ever
to
know that. And I'm not going to do that to someone. You know, I want everyone that comes to me or is around me to feel Christ. They're not going to feel Christ if I hold criticism in my heart.
Yes.
And if we're holding criticism and that judgmental attitude in our heart, people are going to sense that and feel that. They will eventually. It's going to come out, you know, and it's going to be, people will sense it and see it. And I never, ever, ever want that because I know that I've been forgiven of so much and I've had so much to be criticized for, you know, that I don't. I'm not going to do that to other people. I'm not. Right. It's not my place.
Right.
It is not.
But that's it. Haven't you heard so many people say, I get it because God has delivered me from so much. Yeah. I get it.
Yeah. Yes. And, you know, I think that as hard as it is to go through things, unfortunately, we have to sometimes to get it, mm-hmm. you know, to really get it. And I, you know, I don't, I've got enough trouble without being judgmental. You know, the Bible says that if we don't forgive others, then God, and don't display mercy to others, God will not display mercy to us.
That's right.
I need all the mercy I can get.
That's
not
right.
That I'm out there just living up a, you know, terrible lifestyle or anything like that, but we sin daily.
Yes.
I need the mercy of God every day. I don't need any more trouble
mm-hmm.
than what, you know, the daily stresses or the things that happen in life, you know?
Right.
We don't need any, why bring it on yourself?
Right.
I need God's mercy. I don't need more trouble. So I'm going to display that mercy to others.
Yes. And I think that's the difference in Mary before her faith crisis and Mary now.
Mm-hmm.
Before my faith crisis, I was all about, what am I doing wrong? What's everybody else mm-hmm. doing wrong? They shouldn't be doing that. I shouldn't be doing mm-hmm. this. Oh, no, God's going to be so unhappy with
mm-hmm.
me. The Mary now is, okay, I messed up.
Yeah.
I've got hope. And my message to everybody else is hope.
Yeah.
There,
yes.
there is... And, you know, with the bombs and yeah. you know, Boston and you know, worldwide now that we're standing waiting to see if
yes.
it's going to be international. Man, we need hope.
Yeah.
If there's any message we need to hear,
yes.
it's the message of love and it's a message of hope.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need another negative message.
No, we don't. And, you know, if people can really grasp that, that God, in God, you know, Jesus said, you know, take my yoke upon yourself. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. And that's the truth. In a world
oh, wow.
where everything is so...
Preach it, girl.
Everything.
You go, girl.
We need that.
Yes.
That you know, my burden is light.
Mm.
That's what I feel in Christ.
Yes.
You know, I don't wake up with a heavy burden every day like I used to. I wake up in Him. You know, the burden is light. And I can't even describe it. You know, there's freedom there.
Yes.
There's abundant life there. That doesn't mean material things. That means a happy life.
Yes.
A fulfilling life. Yeah, that's what, you know, of course, you know, God wants to provide for us. But abundant life is not all about, you know, material provision. It's about
that's right.
fulfillment. It's about happiness, peace.
Yes, yes. And don't you now, after you've come through it, don't you look at life differently? Like, I've got problems now, but I'm still at peace. You know, whereas
yeah.
before, when you're so focused on the judgment and the yeah. sin, I did not have peace.
Right. And you know what? I have a peace now, and I'm going to material things right now, but it can be in any area of your life. But, you know, recently we've had to have a car fix that cost us a little over $2,000.
Oh, my goodness.
We had to have our heating and air conditioning system replaced, which was right at $4,000.
Oh.
We're about to send a child off to school, and our first payment is due May 1st on that. And, you know, all of these big things, we had to have our septic tank fixed, and
right.
all within a 3-month period. And you're thinking, oh, my Lord, you know, before I would have been freaking out over
yeah.
all of this. But you know what? Just because I know that God's got our back, you know,
right,
I'm
right.
like, okay, well, we right. just spent every bit of savings we had, but
yes,
God's
yes.
going to provide. He'll, you know,
yes.
we'll have it back. And, you know, I don't stress like I used to over the things that really don't matter.
Yes,
you know?
We were talking about that. It's like even our focus has changed. All of that is like, okay, yeah, whatever. But who can I impact
yes,
today?
Yes, that's the thing. It is, my days are more driven by what God has put in front of me to do than it is by the septic tank or what we're going to have to spend on the air conditioner or, you know. And I do realize, you know, that I'm... There are people that I'm aware of who are suffering through horrible things right now
mm.
that I cannot even imagine.
Yeah.
And you can't just brush those off and say, okay, what's today going to hold? You know, I'm excited.
Yes.
I realize that there are those in those situations. But, you know, even in those situations, knowing that God is right there
mm.
and He's not going to leave you, that that even if you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, there is a light at the end of the tunnel.
Yes.
That he has an answer, and you have to believe that.
Right.
You can't believe that the outcome is just going to be the worst. I mean, even though it may look like it,
mm-hmm.
you know, believe in your heart that he does want to bring you through it.
Yes.
You know, and put it, that it will be behind you.
Right.
You know.
And part of what he did on the cross, he said, I came to heal the brokenhearted. So yeah. he cares about your yes. state of affairs. He cares about your emotional health.
Right. Yes. And just like you said earlier before the show, you were saying that you were listening to Todd White. And,
yes.
And he said that when Jesus said on the cross, it is finished, he didn't say to be continued.
Yes.
And when he said it is finished, he was talking about our sin. He was talking about sickness. He was talking about provision. He was talking about everything. He took care of all of that on the cross and said, it is finished. It is a done deal. He yes. took care of it already.
And don't you almost feel like when he said, it is finished, ooh, I love this, I'm feeling this.
Yeah.
It was almost like he was saying to us, your wrestling, your challenge, yeah. your struggle with sin is over.
Yes, yes. And he, it is finished. Rest in me. It is finished. You know, rest in that. That's what you feel in it. It's just, I can rest in this. I'm okay.
Yes.
He did it all. I'm
yes.
okay. Everything's going to be okay. No matter what is going on. Or what may happen in the future.
Yes. You just said it. He did it all.
Yeah.
If we're so focused on rules, like he's going to be upset if I don't do this or do that, we're self-focused. We're not focused on him and what he did.
Yeah. And that's true. You know, if we're so focused on the problem at hand, you know, and sometimes it's hard not to be. Oh, I know.
We're
I
human.
Know. Yes. So it is so hard not to be. But, you know, one thing that I always try to do when I'm so consumed with a problem is, you know, I go into my mission field that he has where he has placed me, and I get lost in it. Mm-hmm. You know, I just say, okay, you know what? I'm not going to focus on that. I'm going to focus on what he's put in front of me to do, and I get lost in that. You know, and that puts things in perspective sometimes.
Yes.
If you can just remove yourself from your problem, even if for an hour or whatever, just to get focused on helping someone else.
Yes.
In any way that you can.
Absolutely.
That's our mission field, you know, is to help others.
That's right.
So, you know, that's a lot of times if you're physically able just to, you know, to do whatever you can to focus on helping someone else, even in the midst of your problems.
Yes. And ask God to show you. You know, Matthew
yeah.
was saying last week, ask God to show you. And I've done that a couple times this week, and let me tell you, you will never go into a public place the same again. Your heart will break
yeah.
because you will feel the weight of someone else's pain.
Yeah. And it's almost like you think, okay, you know, you get to the point where you want to help everyone, the world. And that's okay to think that way, you know. Although we know I can't reach the entire world myself,
yes.
but I can certainly do the best that I can and try to reach everyone that I can.
That's your mission field.
Mm-hmm.
Who you come in contact
yes.
with every day is your world.
Exactly. That's your mission field. So, you know, we don't have to be called to something.
Right.
You know, our mission field is where we are every day. Our mission field, usually where your what your passions are in your heart, will take you to your mission field.
That's right.
It does. Because you can use it. It does. I mean, if your passion is ride motorcycles,
yeah.
well, you know what? That can be your mission field.
That's right.
Connecting with other people who have the same passions and spreading the hope of God in those areas.
Did you hear that?
I did. Is that our time?
That's not our trouble.
It did. Does that mean we have to stop now?
Well, we are out of time, but that's okay because the battery's going too. So.
That's right. Well, let's well, I guess that means that God said, okay, that's it for today.
I know.
That's all they can take today. Okay.
Okay, so there you go.
We're done.
You can see us on Facebook. Well, drop us an email.
Yeah.
First of all, I'll let you know that our email address is thriveradiotalkshow@gmail.com. We're
yes.
on Facebook.
Kelly Davis Williams on Facebook.
And Mary Nicholson on Facebook. We also have a group page.
Thrive.
Thrive.
We're there, too.
I'm kind of scared to say anything else after that.
I know. I think that was our... we're done.
Okay, we're over. So, the message has been spoken.
Yes.
Take it with you and have a great week.
I came to win, to fight, to conquer, to
Bye.